Hello, welcome back to Globe Talks, a podcast designed to encourage and strengthen our church family one conversation at a time. My name is Anahi and I'm working as a ministry trainee for Globe Church this year. Today, I'm joined by Rob, Marika and John to chat through some of the battles that Christians can face, specifically in the area of pornography. We will spend some time hearing about how you guys have grappled with this and think through what the Bible has to say on this topic. We will also acknowledge some of the grey areas and address a few common questions and think through how to recover well. Those of you who were around at Globe last year might remember the training the youth three did on this topic. In the interest of time, we will not fully rehash everything that you guys covered in that session, but we will recap some of it for the benefit of those who were not there. If you weren't at that training morning but want to listen to the recording, you can contact Globe through the email on the website or just ask one of these three, and then we can send you the recording. All right, let's jump in. Can you guys start by telling us a little bit about yourselves?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Rob. Thanks for having us on Anahi, by the way. It's a real blessing. So my name's Rob. I've been at Globe for 18 months or so now, and I work in trade negotiations for the civil service, which sounds much more interesting than it actually is.
It didn't sound interesting.
Thanks, Marika. Always my number one supporter.
I'm John. Thanks very much for having me on the pod. So I've been at Globe for coming up to 6 years now. We're joined by Marika, who's my wife. We've been married for 6 years as well. We have a little boy called Teddy, so I'm a dad. And I currently work for the police in London.
Yep, and I'm Marika. I'm a civil servant working in marketing, same department as Rob. But I'm currently on mat leave.
Fab. Marika, can you kick us off by telling us why you guys care about this topic and why it's important for us to address this?
Yeah. So I want to start by being super clear. Pornography is sinful, it is hurtful, and it is damaging. And it is absolutely not part of God's design for relationship. But it's an issue that far too many of us are facing. So it's a topic that we need to care about and we need to discuss it. And pornography is so surrounded by shame that sometimes it's something the church can avoid talking about, and the enemy loves that. Mm-hmm. However, God designed us to be united and share the burdens of one another's sin. So in Galatians 6:2, it says, "Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." And I've seen that being open and vulnerable about this issue allows us to love God and others. And I get that it's weird to talk about, but it would be even weirder not to talk about it and to pretend it's not happening when in fact it's hurting so many of us. Mm. And pornography damages how we relate to one another, and we are made to be relational. And since we ran the pornography event last year, I've heard from so many women and men opening up about their struggle with pornography. I'm really thankful for their vulnerability, and it's great to hear it from both sides, because it's typically historically thought about as a men's issue. Mm. But no, lots of women in Globe particularly are struggling with this, and it's great to come alongside them in that really painful battle. And that's why we want to talk about it really openly and clearly.
Yeah, fab. Thank you. Having listened to you guys' previous training, I know that each of you have your own stories and experiences with struggling with this. And I just wondered, would you guys be able to just briefly share some of that?
Yeah, should I kick off? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think this is something that we shared at the event last year, and I won't go into all nooks and crannies. And if anyone does want to ask me, more than happy to share. I'll try and be an open book to really support one another, because it can be a really lonely place. So I guess I started watching pornography when I was 12 or 13 years old. And I remember it was in a French class, and my friend told me about this film that was rated 15 but had naked ladies in. Mm-hmm. And I thought, ooh, that sounds interesting. I know. And essentially one worst decision I ever made, going onto a porn website. And actually that just kind of led me down a track where I guess at first was a bit weird, but then kind of felt weirdly good. And actually kind of got into a pattern of watching regularly, a few times a week, sometimes multiple times a day, until I was kind of 16 or 17. And actually at that point, I remember I had a youth pastor who was talked about this a lot, and he essentially said that porn was bad. And deep down I knew it was wrong, but I just had fallen into this pattern, this habit that I couldn't shake, I couldn't kick. Mm-hmm. And so I guess at that point I knew it was a problem, but didn't want to tackle it. And it wasn't until, and this goes back to my point about actually having people to walk alongside you. And actually, it wasn't until I was 18, when I was actually abroad with a friend who kind of said that he was struggling. And I was just like, wow, someone else, it's not just me, it's someone else. And actually that kickstarted a time where we would be accountable to each other and actually walk alongside. And it didn't stop, still continued to struggle for a good few years. And kind of started drawing people alongside, and it got better. It got better, but it didn't stop. And essentially fast forward to university, second year. And by this point it was kind of, you know, less frequent. In fact, I had a 2-3 months where I was clean from watching pornography, but then kind of just fell back into it for one reason or another. And actually I think the two things that really kicked it for me, and kind of praise God, being free for, at the time of speaking, probably, I don't know, 15 months, which is amazing, mm-hmm. very grateful to God, but doesn't mean it's over. Mm-hmm. Temptation is still real. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think for me, it was two things. First, with my pastor of my church at university, who kind of looked me in the eye and he said, Rob, are you an addict? And my immediate thought was, no, I'm not an addict. I struggle with it, but I'm not like one of those people who, mm-hmm. Are like an addict who can't control themselves. And he was like, no, but Rob, look, you've tried to stop, but you can't. Does that make you an addict? And I think facing up to that reality really just shook me into motion, and kind of really got some proper help with some kind of counsellors and therapists as well. And that was really helpful for a short period. And that's really... that alongside getting Covenant Eyes, which I can speak to later, really kicked it for me. So I'll stop there to give John a chance to
yeah, so share. I think actually I've got lots of similarities in my story to Rob's. So I came across pornography and started viewing it probably around 12 years old as well, and at the time I really didn't appreciate how much harm it was causing to myself. Mm. I think what normalized it was at school, pretty much every Christian male or non-Christian male friend I had was viewing pornography in their spare time, and even some female friends as well. And the church and my Christian family I just found to be silent on the topic. So although I had this feeling that it was wrong, everything else around me kind of said I should, it was okay and I should, pursue it. And I found that maybe on Christian camps or in youth group, there might be a youth leader or something that might bring it up, and they might have a very brief one-to-one conversation with you about it. But it was never in depth, and people were never explicit enough where they would call me out on why it's such an issue to view and consume pornography. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, over the years, I think the amount that I viewed and consumed just continued to grow, and the harm I caused led to, I would say, an addiction, like Rob was saying. Then, similarly to what you were saying before, when I went to university, I became a Christian, and that's when I really recognised how horrific watching pornography was. I was trying to kind of actively battle it on a regular basis, and I was putting in all these barriers to stop myself from having access to it. But that wasn't really resolving the real root of the issue. My heart wasn't changing. My desires weren't changing. I married Marika after graduating. Marriage has been fantastic. But the issue with pornography persisted. I kind of went into marriage knowing that it wasn't going to be resolved just by marrying Marika and, our sexual lives starting. But I didn't really know how that problem was going to be resolved, or if it would be resolved. And thankfully Mike has been great, and it's been wonderful to just be really open with each other and to talk about this topic and to support one another. So I've been accountable to Marika and in the past or even recently, if I've come across pornography and viewed it, then I've come to her and confessed. And that's been a difficult process. It's really tough to come to her and say, look, I've committed sin against you and God, and this is what I'm dealing with. Help me. That's a difficult time, but it's been great to do that together. I think I'll probably always have this issue with pornography, but yeah, I think over the last few years, just seen real growth in terms of, it's not an issue on a day-to-day basis. I'm not constantly thinking about this, and Jesus has just provided so much hope and a real change in desires of the heart, really. Yeah. So it's been wonderful.
Yeah, I think from my perspective on that, what's changed over that time is not the fact that you've put in more accessibility controls and blocking certain websites. Like, yes, that can be helpful, but where we've seen the change is where we've seen that spiritual growth and heart change. And we'll talk a bit more about that throughout this podcast. Mm. But just to set you guys up, that's what it comes down to. But for me, I thought pornography entered my life as a teenager, but actually it was since being a really young child, maybe like 6. All you had to do was walk into a newsagent's for some sweets and be greeted with an array of magazines with naked women on the covers. And as I've been thinking about this, it's actually just so disgusting that a child would be so unknowingly exposed to that. Yeah. Mm. And now that I'm a mum, it just makes me angry that, like, Teddy is inevitably going to see things like this without even having a choice in the matter. And then me actively seeking out pornography on the internet came later. And to be honest, the things that I saw when I was a child, it got stuck in my brain. And that's really common when you look at the pattern of pornography on people's lives. Like, it takes so long to get these images and things that you hear about or watch out of your brain. So that's not really surprising that I was later seeking it out. It's just so easy to access, and you don't really think of the people on the screen as people. And all of these people are made in the image of God. God knows them. He died for them. And yet that's not how I viewed them. I just viewed them as things at my disposal for my pleasure. And even as I became a Christian in university, I didn't know that pornography was sinful, because I was under the false illusion that I wasn't hurting anyone. And I'd heard the church preach over and over again, oh, don't have sex outside of marriage, or don't have sex before you get married. Mm. And pornography was never really talked about. So it wasn't touched on. So I just thought, oh, great, this is a great loophole. Go me. and I wasn't warned. I didn't know. And eventually, over the years, as I did come to understand porn for the disgusting thing that it is, I've seen God really transform my life. Like, it's really just not something I'm interested in at all lately. And by his grace, that I've been freed from that desire. And it wasn't an instant change. And I didn't have a moment of breakthrough, but God renewed my heart and my mind through his Spirit in a really subtle and gentle way. And porn is now affecting my life still, but in a different way. So being married to someone who has an ongoing but improving battle with it. And yeah, it's a real privilege to be by John's side, because the beauty of marriage means that his problems are my problems and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, guys, thank you so much for your vulnerability in sharing your experiences so honestly. It's so powerful to hear your stories. And I know that it takes a lot of courage to speak out on this topic, especially that historically there's been so much silence on it. I'm so grateful for you guys for being so honest. You mentioned a little bit of confusion around knowing why porn is wrong. So let's dig into that a little bit. I know that the Bible doesn't speak specifically about porn, but the Bible does have a lot to say about love and sex and God's design for it. John, could you share a little bit with us what you've come across when you've been doing some thinking on this?
Yeah, so you're totally right. The Bible has lots to say on love, sex, and God's design for both of those things. Mm. So we can be really confident and have a good indication of exactly what God's view is on pornography. And I think the main issue is that consuming pornography, viewing it, goes against the way that God intended sex and mankind's sexual desire to be. And it's not a good thing to go against his intention. We see in Genesis 1 and 2 that God created sex and mankind with sexual desire. And these are really good things. So good, in fact, that they need to be protected. Mm. And the way that God protects them is he gives us limits. So the limits God creates is to enjoy sex and those sexual desires within marriage, between one man and one woman. So to honour God with our sexual lives is essentially to only experience sex in the confines and limits of marriage. Mm. And it's a really beautiful thing. So I'd really encourage you to look into what that exactly means, because I guess not acting on sexual desire can feel and sound like an awful thing. Like, why has God given me these desires and I'm not allowed to act on them? That sounds horrific. But actually, it's a really beautiful thing to submit to God's intention and design for us. And it means that we can lean closer and draw closer to him, leaning on Jesus and how Jesus actually provides all that we need, provides the life and enjoyment and satisfaction that we should find. But our hearts don't naturally seek God, and so that's why many of us consume pornography, even though it's wrong. As I said, we think that because we have these desires that we must act on them and we should act on them. Mm. It's definitely not easy to not act on them, but it is possible when God changes our desires away from ourselves, and then we start looking at him, and that perspective change is really crucial. And in addition to love, sex and God's design, the Bible also talks a lot about the certain hope we have in Jesus. So we see in Ephesians 2 that it's not our ability to honour God that means we can have a relationship with him. We could never live up to that by ourselves. It's actually just by God's grace that he saves us through faith to enable this relationship with him. And therefore, our identity is going to be in Jesus and not in having an issue with pornography.
Mm-hmm. And it can so easily become your identity, right? Like, it just feels so inescapable sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the more you think about it and the more you fight against it, the more your thoughts and energy is just consumed by it all.
Yeah.
The Bible sets us free from that.
Yeah. And the world is really not helpful on this issue, because particularly at the moment, sex and sexual identity is a big topic, and people have so many different views, and everyone just says you should be allowed to do whatever you want whenever you want, and that goes completely against God's design, and it really distorts our perspective.
I think that's why it's so helpful to have the Bible as a foundation that we can work from, that grounds us and shapes our worldview. Thank you for sharing that. Marika, you mentioned at the start of how you guys have been having conversations with various people, especially after the training session that you did last year. So I wonder, what are some of the common questions that people are asking, and how can we navigate some of the grey areas?
So when I'm talking to other women about pornography, one question that comes up a lot is about what counts. So for example, I might hear, I'm not watching porn, but I do read erotic novels or look at erotic cartoons, anime, or porn that might be labeled feminist and ethical, so surely that's okay, right? But pornography by definition is any form of material that is designed to stimulate arousal. So that means books, articles, audiobooks, films, TV shows, illustrations. I see books and audiobooks be a big one amongst women. I'm not sure about men, perhaps it is that way. But it feels like because the characters are made up, it's not as real, like there aren't any people involved, you're not hurting anyone. But the truth is, you can ask yourself, does it align with God's design? Am I honouring God by looking at this or listening to this? Is it bringing me closer to God? Is it giving God glory? Or perhaps it's just a distraction and it's the enemy trying to be really sneaky, because remember, he's a sneaky guy. So pornography will always answer no to those questions. It does not honour God. It does not serve my relationship with him.
those are really good diagnostic questions, because I think sometimes when the Bible doesn't say yes or no really clearly to certain topics, it can be hard to sort of know how to navigate. So actually, those are really helpful questions to come back to, and just really checking our hearts and being honest with ourselves, and working out, does this honor God? Is this loving to him or to others? So yeah, those are really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, and actually on that as well, I think another area we saw that masturbation was a big grey area, I think.
Yeah.
And that's another difficult one, because I don't think the Bible speaks directly to masturbation in the sense that masturbation, yeah, it's not said it's wrong, but actually I think when we come back to what John was talking about of the lust of the heart, the desires of the flesh, and actually, you know, it's better to kind of cut off your right hand than enter the kingdom of heaven. I think often, yeah, with masturbation, it's definitely something that is unhelpful at the very least. And I think the worst, one of the really things I struggled with was my youth pastor once said, oh, masturbation's okay. And that was the worst thing he could have said, because actually that led me down a hole back to watching pornography. And I think from my personal interpretation of the Bible, I do think, you know, for at least for me, for my value, masturbation is wrong. And it goes against God's design, as Marika was saying. And so then kind of thinking about how do we deal with masturbation is a real question. And actually, I think at least what I've found is that kind of it's almost like a tree where you've got the roots and the branches, and actually kind of I've kind of cut off the branches with pornography, but masturbation, you know, the roots are still there. And it's, you know, because it's roots, it's hard to dig out because it's much more habitual. And I guess often we refer to it as a slip up. And I used to call it a setback. But actually, it's in the name. The word setback is really negative. And I think all too often, especially with the guys that I kind of meet regularly with or have chatted to over the years. So for context, I volunteer for a charity called the Naked Truth Project, which is a charity, that kind of Christian charity that works in pornography recovery and addiction. But with them, often what I find is actually people have this kind of negative feedback loop that you, when you slip up, you're back to square one, where that is not the case at all. That's not what God says about us. Actually, we are all on a recovery journey, whether we've, you know, looked at pornography once or we've kind of watched it 1,000 times. Actually, we're not back to square one, and actually God wants us to draw back to him and go back to him repentant. You know, of course pornography is wrong. Marika said that at the start, but God's heart is for us to be in relationship with him. And all too often the enemy will tell us to flee from God, to kind of hide away in shame and withdraw from others. But the best thing to do is the opposite, and that's to run to God. And actually I think often as well, on that point about, we try and justify it to ourselves as well. Kind of when we slip up once, it's kind of like, oh well, I've done 10 days now it's only zero, so actually, you know, if I slip up again today, then I've, you know, the streak's not lost, there's no streak to lose. And we try and justify it and kind of minimize it to ourselves, and often that's quite easy to do when you're by yourself. But actually what's, again, which I'll come back to, is actually this idea that it's really important to kind of have someone walking alongside, where we can kind of not go back into that counterproductive cycle. So I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
I just wanted to add, actually, on the point of masturbation, I think a particular problem with it is it's so self-focused.
Yeah,
it's difficult to argue how that really glorifies God in acting out that specific act.
And how it loves others. And there's no one else involved. It's just you loving your flesh.
Yeah,
exactly.
Seeking your own desires.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of following on from what Rob said, it's really good to have a support network. And so one kind of question that is brought up on that topic is, how do we confess well? So, as I mentioned previously, this is kind of an issue of our hearts, and confession plays a really important role in changing our hearts. God uses that. We firstly need to confess to God. He is the one that we are committing this sin against. So he wants us to come to him when we slip up, when we mess up. And what's really encouraging about coming to God with it is God already knows when we've committed a sin. He knows all of our flaws and our faults, and yet he still loves us wholeheartedly. So it means that we don't need to hide anything from him at all. We can come to him knowing that he already knows how bad we feel for continually slipping up and messing up and having to come back to him time and time again. But he wants us to, and he is so willing to keep forgiving us because Jesus has kind of covered that debt for us. And another really great way to confess is also to use the support of people. God places so many people in our lives to support each other. So in James 5 verse 16 it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is not just God suggesting confession with other people is a good thing. He's actually really, with the wording, almost commanding it. Confess your sins, pray for one another that you may be healed. And that is a really great thing. So when we, as Christians, live this out well, that means that the church and our Christian friends and family won't judge us when we confess sins to them. They instead listen. And I think the most effective way to be an accountability partner, if someone is confessing to you, is listen to them and try to respond in love by speaking God's word into that specific situation. So rather than just kind of going along with it, listening and saying, oh, you know, that sounds awful, I hope it, you know, keep coming back to me and I hope it gets better over time. Actually, bring out God's word, because God's word will give you power to conquer that sin and to battle it. We can't battle it alone without God. And in terms of accountability partners, we would suggest doing it more so groups of that kind of at least three. That means that the burden of being an accountability partner isn't on one person. They don't have to just hear your confession and really feel that burden. Actually, the weight is shared across a few people. And particularly, it's helpful if one of those people in the group doesn't struggle with this issue, because then they can actually have a different perspective and bring that in, which can be really helpful. And as I mentioned in my story, you go.
Sorry, can I just have something I might say? I think if you don't have two friends who get on really well with each other, you might find it easier as well to have two separate friendships, individually, one on one, instead of in a group. To make that really clear that actually you can, you know, in people you trust, someone. But again, I think it's really, as John said, really wise to have someone who doesn't struggle as well to kind of lead you on.
And the other thing I was going to mention is if you're married, I think it's great to be accountable to your spouse. People are obviously date for quite a long period or might be engaged for a long period, and so you should definitely make your partner aware of your struggle with the issue. But I don't think it's necessarily right for them to be your accountability partner if you're not married. The reason for that is that you haven't actually committed to that person for life. And it might actually be quite difficult, given that they're the opposite sex, to actually talk about this in an open format and lead them to sin as well. Who knows? It can just be quite difficult. But if you are married, definitely speak to your partner about this. Try and be as an open as possible, because if you are viewing pornography or masturbating, then you are committing sin against them as well.
And I would say that your partner will let you know their limits over time. So someone said to me, I don't know how much to share with my partner, and that's just trial and error for each relationship and figuring that out for yourselves. And if you're just honest with each other and using words kindly, you'll over time learn how much is suitable to share with each other. And there isn't a one size fits all approach for that when it comes to relationships. There are two different people and every relationship is different. So over time, you'll find an approach of communication and openness that works for you. But as long as you are being open and vulnerable with each other, then that's a huge win.
Yeah, I think it's a real gift that God has placed us in community, that we do have people that we can confess with. And I love how you described there, John, about this kind of vertical and horizontal direction of confession. Like, that's not the words that you use, but I love that first we confess to God, which is that vertical direction, and then to each other as well. And I think that's just such a beautiful model and pattern to emulate. And yeah, Rob, you mentioned about all of us being on a recovery journey. So I wonder if you guys would be able to just talk a bit more about that. I imagine that since the event, a few people have confessed and or have like asked you guys to walk alongside with them. So you want to think about how can we recover well. So what are some advice that you guys would have for that?
Where to start? I think so aside from the point we mentioned earlier about actually kind of, you know, being accountable, walking alongside people, which is really important. I think the other crucial thing is to not kind of get bogged down, as Marika was saying, in pornography. But actually think, okay, what is the better story here? Okay, not just, okay, I'm trying to work on stopping watching pornography. Great, but actually, okay, what are you going to replace that with? You know, what is it that God has called you to do in your place, in your life, in your location? And actually, you know, life as a Christian is about, you know, knowing Jesus and growing in him. And what you're working towards might not necessarily be kind of, you know, praying more, etc. It might be learning a language or learning to play guitar, or, you know, agreeing to hang out with friends on a regular basis, stuff that really kind of glorifies God. And if you're listening to this and you're not a Christian, I would really recommend getting to know Jesus.
Cool guy.
Definitely.
Cool guy.
Yeah. Amen.
I would also say that just please believe that God does hear your prayers for this. It's really hard to sometimes actually believe that, but he understands your pain and wants to help. And yeah, I know personally lately that it is hard to just keep coming to God when it feels like he's gone silent on you, ghosting you, and you feel angry because he doesn't seem like he's helping. It's a really frustrating situation that so many Christians find themselves in. But this week I read Hebrews 4 verses 15 to 16, which says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." I just love that. I'm going to say that last bit again. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." So he knows the battle with pornography is hard and it's painful and it's so draining sometimes. But he asks us to come to him with confidence because he wants to give us the mercy and the grace that we need to be helped.
Yeah. I would say, in terms of recovery from pornography, I liken it to our faith as Christians. So it tends not to be a constant growth where we are always coming closer and closer to God with no issues and it's just plain sailing. Actually, we all wander away from God. We all have our own idols and issues and sins, and we all make mistakes. And so we have to keep coming back to God for forgiveness. And so when it comes to pornography, we are probably likely to slip up and to make mistakes, to view pornography. Even you can go a few years without viewing pornography and feel great about yourself. And that can become dangerous because you think you can do this by yourself. But actually, we need to keep coming back to God, relying on him, using his strength, and petitioning him in prayer to change our hearts and to make sure that our desires are changing. In the big picture, though, when we look at our Christian lives, we do see that growth. We see ourselves coming closer to God. We see ourselves maturing in faith. But there are seasons and life is difficult, it is tough. So yeah, we just need to keep relying on him. And it's also so vital that we know our identity is always going to be in Jesus. It's not going to change. It's not in pornography. Even when we slip up, God still loves us, and we are still considered his children.
Yeah, what a precious truth to come back to, that we are loved by God and we are his children. And Rob, I think there was something that you said earlier, which was that God is for us. And I think sometimes when we feel condemnation and shame and guilt, it's so helpful to look up and remember your identity in Christ as a beloved child, knowing that God is on your side. He is fighting for you. He's calling you back, which is just such refreshing truth to be reminded of. So finally then, as we draw this conversation to an end, what would you guys say to the person who has been listening and feels compelled to make a change but doesn't know how to go about it? What advice would you give them?
I would say just say something. Say it to God, and then say it to a couple of people that you trust. And the harder it feels to say, the more reason to say it. Notice when you're trying to talk yourself out of saying something. The enemy would love that. It's not going to serve God keeping quiet. It's not gonna help you grow. Just say something. And it could just be something like, God, I feel enslaved to pornography, and I feel like I can't escape. I can't do this on my own. Please help me. Please forgive me and transform me and show me the next step and walk it with me. Or you could pray Psalm 86, which says, bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. And to a friend, it's confessing for the first time, you might find that you're really lost for words. It's so difficult to say, but it can just be super simple. You don't need to offload everything the first time you open your mouth. Like, I'm sure your friends will ask you questions and you can unpack it together. So it could just be something simple like, I need to share something difficult and I'm feeling a bit nervous. I've been struggling with pornography for X amount of time and I don't want to battle it alone anymore. So please, can you pray with me? So simple, like, here's the issue. I don't want to do it alone. Please pray with me. I'd also encourage people to go back and listen to the recordings we made last year, because we talk more in detail about the brain science behind pornography and addiction and the specific process of recovery and like more concrete steps that are involved in that journey.
I would just want to encourage the person who does struggle with pornography that they're not alone. There are so many people who have an issue with this. Probably the people who are going to feel like they are alone are women, because this still isn't spoken about from a female perspective enough. Obviously, we've mentioned that it's relatively well spoken about in terms of men struggling with it, but there are also so many women. So since the event last summer, we've had so many people come up to us and speak about their personal stories, which has been fantastic to hear, and just encouraging that God is working in their lives and is shaping them, is bringing them closer to him and changing their hearts. If you don't have people that you trust and want to confess to, then please do come and see any one of us, and we're happy to talk about it in more detail and even meet up with you.
We would love to do that, genuinely. There's nothing more than my heart longs for than to walk alongside guys. So, if that's you, hit me up. Techo John, I think, I'm going to get in trouble here with an Ahi, but I'm going to say two things. She asked for one, I'm going to say two. I think, I just remember what it was like for me when it feels like you are the only person in the world who struggles. That is not true. I know countless, at least, from my experience, guys who struggle and have struggled and continue to struggle with pornography, masturbation. I think you'd be surprised about the number of people in churches, especially, who struggle. I could almost guarantee any church in London, probably at least 50% of the guys have watched pornography in the last few months. And actually, the statistics are shocking. But I just want to say, you are not alone in this. Jesus did not call for us to fight alone, but to fight in community. And I think there's a really, the phrase I love is vulnerability sparks vulnerability. And actually, when you open your heart to someone, especially someone you trust, they are almost guaranteed. If they are someone you trust, they are guaranteed to reciprocate. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's a lifelong friendship that's developed there. And before Nahi cuts me off, I just also want to say, take practical steps. I think when you're thinking, what do I do? Yes, I want to stop. What can I do? Great, tell someone. But also, you know, get practical. You know, think about when do I struggle? Where do I struggle? Kind of, is it late at night? Is it when I'm kind of bored? All of these things, and actually start to think, okay, how can I avoid these circumstances and situations? And a great resource, I don't know if we can get this linked in the podcast description, Anahi, but practical, I again shameless self-promotion, but I volunteer for the Naked Truth Project. Naked Truth Project, not Naked Tree. Everyone thinks I say Naked Tree. Naked Truth. Yeah, but people will still get confused. I don't know if my accent or whatever, but actually there are some great resources which you can find hopefully in the description of this podcast. And thanks for bearing with me, Anahi.
Fantastic.
I'll finish there.
That was great. Thank you, Rob. And you did that in like 2 minutes. Thank you so much, John, Marika and Rob, for all that you've shared. It's been massively helpful. And we really hope that you guys have been encouraged and strengthened by what we've talked about. Again, yeah, just come find these guys at church if you want to chat about this a bit more. Always willing to pray with you and point you to some different resources, like has been mentioned already. Naked Truth Project will be there'll be a link to that in the description as well. So yeah, thank you so much, guys, for listening, and join us next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.